This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel Kikuchi, joined by Damon Kikuchi. This is Thursday the 12th of May and it's episode 210. Welcome to the show, Damon. How are you?
I'm well. Here's how it started, because we do a countdown to make sure that we're in sync, that when Dan edits this wonderful podcast, we're in sync. And Joel does the countdown, the 3, 2, 1, and then he goes 3, and then I pop in with 2 and 1 at the same time, so Dan can merge the files. And instead of doing 1, I just said Kikuchi, and it made him stumble. I try to do that every once in a while. We try to make it fun.
Sabotage the show for each other.
right out of the gate. Hi everyone. Wow, what another exciting week of. As the world turns on New Japan Pro Wrestling, it's well, you know what's disappointing, Joel? And we'll get into everything. But you know what's disappointing is that, and let's spill some beans right now, shall we?
Yeah, you wanted to talk about Takatachi Mania for an hour, and now we can't do that anymore because Ibushi fucking ruined it, and we got to talk about him and his bullshit instead.
I mean, we've known of Kikuchi-san, if you will, for 4 years now. It's probably been at least 4 years, 3 or 4 years. Doesn't it feel like? Let me ask you this. Let's put it this way: have you ever told anyone about the idea of this gentleman kind of having the higher vision for New Japan Pro Wrestling in a booking sense? Have you ever told anyone?
I'm not going to answer that question. What I will say, I'll repeat what I said to you off the air, which is we seem to be the only people in the fandom, shall we say, that have these crazy, wild ideas that it's not Ghetto who's pulling all the strings. He is not the mastermind, but he is a part of a committee and a bigger picture where there might be someone else at the top designing those long-term storylines that we all know and love so much and applaud for. So I'm perfectly okay with us just being the crazy people in the corner going, oh, it's not actually Ghetto, but it's just one of those things, isn't it? Just throw it on the pile.
throw it on a pile. And here's the thing, we've kind of hinted at it, and again, we didn't name names, we've never named names, but you know, we've hinted at it many times, it feels like. But my point being in all this is, and again, we'll wrap this up, and not wrap it up, but you know, we'll continue on, but Joel will explain a little bit. I feel like there's something that like is now out there that I had always in my back pocket, and it'd be like, psst, hey. You know, made me feel a bit important when I went, you know, certain people, maybe like I probably told, I'll be honest, I probably told about 4 or 5 people. And now I don't have that anymore. That was like our big thing. I'm dropping that bombshell, but now it's all out. It's like, fuck! That was our ace in a hold to multi-million-dollar contracts. Fuck!
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people believe us.
No,
you see Dave Meltzer getting all sassy on his message board there. Like, oh, Ghetto, the fake figurehead Booker man. It's like, we see you, Dave.
Here's the thing: Ghetto, from our understanding, big picture. You know, all your favorite angles throughout the great things is this gentleman. And I there's still this you still need to connect the dots. And Ghetto is a big part of connecting those dots. Now, there are
We're not saying Ghetto has no influence. Like, correct. Of course, he is a very important voice in the room. He is making big calls on who's winning and who's losing. Like,
yes, absolutely.
We're not saying he's just a puppet.
By no stretch are we saying that. Like, he is. Here's the thing. You see more of Ghetto in booking than you do maybe even the big picture stuff. But the big picture stuff apparently comes from this gentleman, who, and I think this is safe to say, has really no other connection in pro wrestling. I think that was the way it was described to us by multiple people. So I guess, I know we're kind of getting into it before we're getting into it. Do you want to explain for maybe people who live under a rock and don't know what the fuck we're talking about, and then we'll get into it?
Yeah, I was dreading this part because having to put this situation in a nutshell is really difficult. So, I mean, we were basically watching this escalate in real time, where Ibushi fired off a couple of tweets saying, oh, I'm going to expose the corrupt officials, blah, blah, blah. And people were like, oh, what's going on here? And then someone in the Discord said, oh, no, he's just doing a pastiche of this, you know, person who's in the news in Japan who does a similar thing. So I'm like, oh, okay, calm down, everyone, it's fine. And then it just got worse and worse and worse. And then we were just looking at each other like, I don't think this is a work. I think this guy's just losing his marbles and just spilling all the tea over social media. And that's what seems to be the case. He's showing screenshots of arguments he's having with this Kikuchi character and threatening to cancel his contract. And there's a fantastic report from Joe Lanza, Voices of Wrestling, on their Patreon. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Obviously, you should throw them some money for it. But the gist of it seems to be Ibushi's very unhappy with his working conditions. He's unhappy about trying to be rushed back before he was healthy. And then when he is healthy, being told that he can't come back and getting into trouble for unauthorized appearances on a JTO, a Just Step Out show that they got the hump over. And it basically, Ibushi looks like he's had enough.
Yep. And, you know, I think at least a decent amount of his frustration is the fact that he feels he's not ready to come back. He's not ready to work physically or mentally.
Wasn't
it
that he did think he was ready to work? You might remember come New Japan Cup when he was paired off against Great O'Khan. And he was saying, oh, my shoulder, I don't know if I'm ready for this. And I was like, oh, he's absolutely working, of course. Khan's going to be stomping on his shoulder going, ah, ha, ha, ha. And then a lot of Ibushi fans were like, no, how can you say that? He's really hurt. According to this, he was good to go. But then Kikuchi pulled him off the show and said, no, he's not ready yet. Right. So my understanding was they wanted him back at Wrestle Kingdom and he wasn't ready for that. But then he was ready for New Japan Cup. But then they said no. So it's just the constant... The hot and cold, the flip-flopping that seems to be frustrating him. I mean, I don't know if throwing your toys out of the pram publicly is necessarily the right way to go. There's been a lot of other wrestlers saying, oh, look, is Ibushi back on his bullshit again? And when Hideki Suzuki, of all people, is chastising you for a lack of professionalism, then it's time to have a look in the mirror and think about what you're doing. Andrew says, a question for Damon, how would you feel if Joel went to a Just Tap Out show without your permission? But yeah, very, very messy situation, isn't it?
Joel's more than welcome to go wherever whoever pays him. If somebody gives him money, I tell you, run, please. And I will say, yes, please go out of your way to find the Voices of Wrestling report, who did a really excellent job. Because here's the bottom line: the main gist of it is, from what we can tell and what we've been told and what we can piece together, it's pretty much what we understand the situation to be. So there's really not a lot of difference in the over, like the theme of it and the reasons behind it. Now, again, there are some details that we have heard different information to the tune of, you know, there's more than one Kikuchi that is working in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So The idea of, I think there was a part of that report that was like Bullet Club merchandise or something like that, which...
We're still blaming Kenny and the Bucks for that.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead. From what we understand, that is it. So this really doesn't have anything to do with anything previous when it comes to merch. Like that's, that's not it. But the overall gist of it, look, here's the thing. In pro wrestling, guys might not get along with the book, with the office. Like there's plenty of cases of that. I don't know if it goes any deeper than what was, exposed in those tweets or those line messages or whatever it is. I don't think I, here's the thing. I think it feels to me like these type of things can be patched over. So, and I feel like these things happen a lot. So I don't know what it is about this particular situation that caused him to feel that he needed to just, burn it all down. I we don't know, but boy, did he ever try to fucking burn it down. And I don't, and who knows if he's done.
I suppose that's the biggest question going forward then, because interestingly, for a lot of the Japanese fandom, the most shocking thing that Ibushi did was actually break kayfabe by, exposing, referencing Gedo as someone who has authority in the company and is not just, the heater for Jay White in the Bullet Club. People were really shocked about that. So that was sort of an interesting twist on it compared to us kayfabe destroying Western fandom. But we've got questions on this. Whatever says, what is the outcome Ibushi's looking for? Kikuchi getting fired? And I suppose this is the big question moving forward. Is this situation reconcilable for Ibushi? I mean, does he even want it to be reconciled, or is he just throwing his lot in? Because moving forward, he either gets fired, maybe he gets some time off to heal up, sort his head out, get himself in the right frame of mind where he wants to return to wrestling, because he doesn't sound like he's particularly interested in doing so at the moment. Or he apologizes to Kikuchi, the company agrees to treat him with a lighter touch. I mean, the option of Kikuchi being fired to appease Ibushi, that one seems unlikely, right, from the limited understanding I have of Japanese office politics. I don't think that one is likely to happen. But what's your take moving forward? How do you see this one playing out?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but in those messages, he thought he was fired, right? Like originally, didn't he mention Ibushi we're talking about? That he was fired already. So I don't know. It just seems like this could have all been avoided. It feels like with a little communication between all parties. My gut says that it will get worked out. Where does he go? Here's the thing. One, it's my understanding that Ibushi really doesn't need the money to continue pro wrestling, right? So he could stop right now and be fine, financially set.
He can live out his days with the Ibushi Pro Wrestling Research Institute.
Remember that?
There are some possibilities here. I'm going to throw some questions at you. Scott right. asks, when does Kota show up in the crowd at AEW shows wearing a bag on his head declaring Kenny the savior? Stuart says, what are the chances you think Ibushi becomes a freelancer again when his contract expires because of all this drama? In my opinion, unless the situation is peacefully resolved between both parties, I feel it's decently likely he'll end up as a freelancer again. All right. I mean, do you think there is any way to sort of turn this into business, like make money out of it and turn it into an angle? I was chatting with Manabu last night. He was suggesting they should give Ibushi like his own sort of breakaway promotion and then use that to feud with New Japan next year or something like that. So, plenty of options on the table. I don't know if turning up in AEW is necessarily top of my list of likely outcomes. How are you feeling?
I'll go back to an old bit. As long as Kenny's writing a check, I'll show up. because he didn't get Golden Lovers t-shirt money.
I'm laughing, Dave. I'm laughing. I just had myself on mute because of my shitty microphone.
Come on. That's one of our best things. It's my understanding, I'll say that again, that he's not too interested in coming to the United States. Like, coming here is one thing. Staying here is a completely other thing. And it's not, like, in his list of to-dos. Let's put it that way. Could he go back to, like, a DDT? Would he want to?
He did say in one of those tweets that it was, like, 1% chance he does that.
Right. So, I mean, like, what? Like, here's the thing. I truly believe. Like, and here's another thing. He's 40, right? Like, he's not this 23-year-old J-pop superstar, right? He's 40. Let's keep that in mind. He's either patching this up with New Japan and working this out, or he's done pro wrestling. That's my opinion. Like, I don't see him going to AEW. Like, he could do shows and he could do, you know, that's okay, great. I don't see him moving to the States full-time AEW. I just don't see it. And then what other options are there? Not many.
Just looking at the questions here. Michael says, which of the two Kikuchis are your favorite? Spannerhead says, should us L.I.J. Marks apologize to Ghetto considering he was never the head booker this whole time, or can we continue to bully that midget bald bastard? Is our narrative then it's all those awards that Ghetto got stolen valor?
Again, let's be very clear. Ghetto has what you see in the ring probably has more of Ghetto stamp than anyone else's. So let's make that clear. But the big picture, we're gonna do this in the summer. It's gonna wind up with this person. Like, apparently that's coming from Kikuchi. But know that, again, Ghetto is what you see has his stamp all over it. So let's not throw him by the wayside.
Bit of happy news here, Damon. The Prime Minister of Japan, Kishida, promises to open Japanese borders for tourists by June. So are you going to be organising yourself a G1, make some noise, end the clap crowds tour group?
Just go in there like Stan Hansen. Not G1. I can guarantee you that. I'll be watching that from the comfort of my air-conditioned home here in southern New Jersey. Super J cast gun to your head, Joel Kikuchi. You going this year to the Tokyo Dome?
I'm not going to rule it out.
Oh,
the only sticking point is going to be if I have brought it up with Manny, and I'd be like, "Would you look after the children while I go to the Tokyo Dome?" And she's basically said, "Get fucked. I want to go shopping." So that's going to be the sticking point. Who's looking after the kids while Wrestle Kingdom is taking place, especially if it's two nights? I think I may have to wait until at least one of them is old enough to go inside the dome and watch the show. But we'll see. I won't rule anything out.
Maybe it's not you can drop them off anywhere, though.
Well, I've got plenty of other friends in Japan with kids, so maybe I could just set up a little play date and be like, "Oh, lovely to see you. Here's the kids. See you in 4 hours."
Yeah, I'm just going to go get some ice cream. Oops.
just pop me around. I'm just going to go to the Family Mart and get a drink.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. Would you see? Here's the thing. Now you're getting into like separate vacation and separate holiday, you know, different separate. Like, I was going to suggest you do that, and then she could take a trip and you watch the kids. But then, you know, then you get into nonsense. All right, I probably will not be there this year. I would probably say probably not. I'm getting my kitchen redone right now. It's very expensive. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but that is good news for many people, because I know people are chomping at the bit to get on an airplane and get over there, and rightfully so. So it should be good. Should be good. I mean, that makes it a little bit more, your fantasy booking mind for G1 kind of opens up a little bit more too. So maybe Kikuchi will have some great ideas coming.
Which one?
Oh, right. Which one? Well, the one of several that are there, apparently. So, yes. I feel like it's just the most confusing time. Like, for people that are just – I think people are more blown away by this news than anything in the past, I don't know, 3 years? Like, give me another thing that is more – not, like, bigger. Like, there's been bigger news. But something where it's like you're led to believe one thing and you think you know, but then like who is this person? What's happening? Like, I think this is one of those things where it's like it's maybe the weirdest thing we've had to talk about. Because even now, we're kind of somewhat dancing. Like, we're not saying everything we know, we're not doing it, but it's just fucking weird, isn't it? Like, imagine, like, all these years of watching pro wrestling here in the States, you know, or, you know, the U.S. product, and being like, yeah, it really wasn't Vince McMahon. You know what? That kind of did happen in the 90s.
It was like Chris Kresge, wasn't it, who was doing all the stuff that everyone loved back in 2000?
I mean, it was like, you know, wasn't Vince Russo that guy? Like, Vince Russo was like, wasn't he like a comic book shop guy? And he became a writer, and he got in Vince's ear, and he had, you know, ideas that Vince liked, and then boom, the next thing you know, he's fucking booking some of the biggest things in the 90s, the biggest pro wrestling period. So okay, maybe this is something similar. Who knows? I don't know. No one. Well, I can't say no one knows. We kind of know. Seems like other people know. So there it is. But I never thought this day would come. I got to be truthful. I never thought this day would come, and I never thought it would be Kota Ibushi exposing.
Yeah, when we saw those screenshots from the chats and saw the name Kikuchi, we were like, oh, hello.
Right? We were like, oh, here it is. Here it fucking is.
And gates are open.
Yeah. Like, I just couldn't, like, I was just, like to me, I feel like, again, I opened the show with this. I feel like this is like the biggest thing that we had in our pocket, like that we were privy to. Like, I can't think of anything else. I can't think of anything else. And to see that, like, come out there, and it wasn't us that said it, like, just to see it out there, it was just like, oh my fucking God. And here's the thing too. Can I give a hint? Do you think it'd be okay if I gave a hint? You think people would care? Maybe I should do it off the air.
No, do it.
Do it?
Okay. Do it. Fucking coward.
I'll tell everyone listening to this podcast, you've seen this gentleman. You've seen him. He has been on a New Japan Pro Wrestling broadcast. I'm not going to say when. I'm not going to say where. But no. Think of all the possibilities of just people that aren't usually pro wrestlers in a ring. You've seen them. Everyone's seen them.
So now we're going to get everyone trawling through them.
That's the best part. Everyone's just on the
NJPW World. Every single match, every single event is going through it with a free stream. Is that him?
Yep. It's going to be like...
Private citizen, Damon. Show some respect.
What?
He's a private citizen.
Yeah,
leave the man alone.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just saying. But that's weird too, isn't it? Yeah, he is a private citizen. So there it is. There it is. 25 minutes on that. Any other questions that we can answer or dance around with?
No, I think we're good on the Kota Ibushi situation. Hope it all gets resolved. I'd say we move on to talk about Best of the Super Juniors 29.
Yes.
Shane says, where does this Best of the Super Juniors lineup stand in the history of the tournament? So you've been watching this a long time, Damon. Yeah. I think it's a stacked, star-studded lineup. Like we talked about last week, we've got champions representation from all the major promotions. Well, most of them anyway. It's all from WWE in there. Although there are plenty of people who did take part in the Cruiserweight Classic. What is your feeling? Does this stand up as one of the, on paper, one of the best lineups ever?
That's a tough question because if you think back in the day, like in the 90s, a lot of the people that were in those tournaments, well, they were New Japan workers. Well, that's a tough question. That's a good question. I can't even say, like, were they better than what we have now? Like the lineup is pretty, I'll finish a sentence. Trust me. I think talent wise, it is very comparable to the best of the Super Juniors. I think the idea of champions from other promotions being in it is very appealing. I told you, it feels to me like a Super J Cup as opposed to a Best of the Super Juniors. I think we have to wait and see how it pans out and see, you know, matches and results and the excitement level and all that to see where it would rank. But lineup wise, I think you have to say it's up there just from pure, like, you know, different promotions being represented and who was chosen. And I think even some of the guys that are in it are very underrated. It might be, Joel. It might be. It's a really fucking good line. And again, hindsight being 2020, yes, of course. Oh, Eddie Guerrero. Oh, Liger. Oh, Otani. Oh, you know, these are names that are, you know, El Samurai. And, you know, just the list goes on and on that wound up being fucking important in the world of pro wrestling. This is a good lineup. This is a very fucking good lineup.
Well, how are we going to do this? So should we go through all the entrants and talk about how we think they're going to do in terms of points and any particular matches or aspects we're looking forward to? Let's start in A block then. We've got Hiromu Takahashi. It's his seventh entry in the tournament. He won it in 2018, 2020, and 2021. I mean, obviously, he is the big star, the ace of the junior division. But I don't think there is a great deal of value in having him win it for a fourth time, for a third consecutive time. I think he's a, you know, fantastic wrestler and I love watching him, but he doesn't feel like the most interesting wrestler in the blocks. I think he'll do really well and I think there's a decent chance of him making it to the final, but I wouldn't have him necessarily pegged as the favorite to win the whole thing.
See, I kind of feel a little bit opposite. Only in the sense of, this is a guy that was challenging for the never open weight title very recently. You know, is pinning heavyweights. Like, wouldn't logic dictate that he would be the odds on favorite?
I suppose looking at the rest of his block, I would say yes. He does look like the most likely winner of the block.
I mean, from a pure non, you know, just looking at that and taking that into consideration. Now, again, they're not opposed to making someone a star out of this, right? There could definitely be upsets galore. You know, they've had some balls. They're not. Definite on the easy slam dunk. Let's you know, go that route. Like, who else in A block would you say has a shot?
Yo, I mean, he was a finalist last year.
Yo,
so
I mean, seriously,
well, we'll come on to Yo. We'll talk about him later. But okay. I just given the, historically, the fact that he made the finals last year, can't rule him out.
He lost in less than 10 minutes on the last show. He ain't winning shit.
Ishimori is the champion, although weirdly I think that sort of precludes him from being in the final, because usually they don't have the champion going to the final. Show, this might be the time they decide to pull the trigger on him. I think
he hasn't won it yet, right?
Correct. I would say Show is probably the biggest threat to Hiromu winning that block. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Hiromu is, if we're talking kayfabe and he's, you know, pinning all these heavyweights, then he should be the favorite to win this block.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be honest. Show would be my dark horse, would be my, you know, my second guy, if, you know, taking Hiromu out of it. But I don't know. But it just, it doesn't make much sense to me to not have him win it. So who else is in A? That would be even remotely a possibility?
Well, read everyone. We've got Taguchi, Yo, Clark Connors, Hiromu, Kanemaru, Ace Austin, Alex Zane, Francesco Akira, Taiji Shimori, and Sho.
I mean, they could do Ishimori. Champion wins the fucking thing. I don't know why I have this hard on for Kushida coming back and challenging. I really do. I just don't know when the fuck you do that. Do you think Kushida comes back as a junior?
You love derailing, don't you?
Sorry. Just yes or no. Just answer the question. Yes or no.
Does he come back as a junior? Yes.
Wow. Okay. All right, so Ishimura could possibly, but yeah, he's champion and that kind of, I kind of think not. Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
That's right. Okay, so next person we have is Ryusuke Taguchi, who this is his 19th entry. He won it in 2012, and he is one half of the junior heavyweight tag team champions. So, you know, we're going to get this, the sillies, the ha-has, but I'm hoping we do get to see once or twice the appearance of a big match Taguchi, where he actually shows his serious side. He's had some tremendous matches with Hiromu over the past couple of years. So that's what I'm looking at May 15th in Nagoya when he wrestles Hiromu, because that's been the highlight the last couple of years. Never actually been able to beat Hiromu. So that might be one to watch there. I think if we're looking at highlights, maybe this is the year he gets the big win over Hiromu. But aside from that, I would say middle of the pack and likely to be setting up some stuff for junior tag title challenges.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he'll be in the upper, like upper section of A block. Like he'll be in the mix. And yeah, I think we will. Every year we do. Every year we get big match to Gooch. So I think he'll sprinkle in a few of those throughout the tourney, if you will.
So next we have Yo. Andrew says, how to fix Yo? And Kid Kilowatt says, is Yo the new bag of socks? So this is Yo's fifth entry. And last year they did the whole story where he lost his first few matches and had 0 points, but then managed to turn it around, went on a 7-match winning streak, facing Romer in the final, had the longest final in tournament history. But of course he lost, and as you say, he got beaten very soundly by Hiromu at Dontaku. So I guess they're doing the story here. You know, can he turn things around? I mean, Hiromu was very critical of Yo. He said, you know, he's got a lack of fire. He said Yo was, he's happy just to cash the paycheck. So it does seem like they're doing something with Yo. So again, we have the same situation as Taguchi, actually, looking to pick up his first win over Hiromu because he's never beaten him before. So I know the Dontaku match was disappointing, but that it'll be May 25th at Korakuen with Yo against Hiromu. And I know this is a very Hiromu-centric preview so far, but I do feel that's the one to watch with Yo. I mean, there's obviously the Show match as well. Yo and Show have their history together, but I think the match against Hiromu at Korakuen is going to give us a better indicator of what we're doing with Yo. And I think he's going to be in the mix come the final day. I wouldn't rule him out of making it through to the final. I would say I would sort of lean more towards other people, but I don't think he's going to be, you know, just sitting in the middle with like a 4-5 record or anything.
Bag of socks.
White socks. Pearly white socks.
Yeah. Tube socks. This is it. Right, this is the last shot we got with Yo, unless they totally fucking repackage him. Like, I don't know, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. You would think that, yeah, that maybe that Corkin would be an upset win. Fine. Here's the thing. In that A block, there are too many other people that I would rather see make a move. Besides Yo. Like, all that fresh blood that's there, I'd like to see higher than Yo. I don't think Yo, I think Yo is below 500. I think he's on the bottom part. Because why are we investing in that? Let me rephrase that. Why are we investing in that when we've kind of established the fact that he's an under a 10-minute clean as a whistle kind of guy? I mean, look, this is the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. I get it. But even the fucking Okada match, remember that?
I don't remember that.
What am I thinking of? Who am I thinking of? Am I in my mind? I'm thinking of, what's the difference?
Fair enough. A good point. Well made, Damon. Okay, let's move on to Clark Connors. It's his debut entry. Chris says, how do you think Clark Connors will be booked in Best of Super Juniors? I was looking at the shows. He's surprisingly low on the card most nights. And also, this might shock you, on the Wikipedia entry for this Best of the Super Juniors, he's the only one that doesn't have his own Wikipedia page of all the 20 competitors. Poor Clark.
That's not concerned.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see him. I mean, I think he's a tremendous wrestler. I think he's one of the best products from that LA Dojo cohort. So I'm excited to see, you know, to see him mixing it up with, you know, the best that the junior heavyweights have to offer, both in the States and in Japan, mixing it up with, you know, people like Ace Austin, as well as guys like Hiromu Takahashi. So I don't think he's going to be in the mix. I don't think he's going to be a contender to win it. Probably looking at quite a low scoring record here, aren't we, Damon?
Yeah, I would think so. And again, I think the matches will be great. I know people will be enjoying the matches, but from a point total perspective, yeah, look, somebody's, you know, we got to make the math work. And somebody's got to lie down, and he's probably one of those that will be doing a lot of that.
We have Kanemaru. It's his fifth entry in the tournament, the heel master. So, yeah, we're going to get sort of lots of grizzled veteran shenanigans, maybe some whiskey in the mix. But I think he is probably a better wrestler than a lot of people give him credit for. So maybe this match against Francesco Akira will be an interesting one, because I think that will give us a chance to really see what we've got with Akira when he's mixing it up with a veteran like Kanemaru. Do I think he's going to be a contender? No, I think he will be firmly middle of the pack.
Yeah, firmly middle of the pack. And here's, like, to me, the role he's playing in this is what we usually give Rocky Romero praise for, right? That guy who's going to see what the new fresh blood have. And, like watch those Kanemaru matches, because to me that's going to kind of be like a little bit of a measuring stick for a lot of these guys that are coming in for the first time. I really do. Like, he's that guy in Block A.
So we also have Taiji Ishimori, who, as we know, is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. This is his sixth entry into this tournament. Yeah, he's got a bit of a mixed bag reputation with the fans. A lot of people accuse him of being, you know, past it and being lazy and dragging his feet when it comes to these matches. But I don't know. I think he is a person who's unfairly maligned in the fandom. And just sort of looking at the placement of his matches and in terms of how many main events he's getting, he has got one against Alex Zane. That's going to be a main event. I think that'll be an interesting one. A semi-main event against Sho. Semi-main event against Francesco Akira. So he's actually a main event against Yo on the first night. I mean, for someone who is billed as a champion, maybe you'd expect to see him a bit higher up the card. But I think that's a sort of decent amount of main events and semi-main events. How are you feeling? I mean, I don't think he's going to win the block. They don't usually have the champion win the block, but I think he might surprise some people. I'm expecting him to go out and have some really good matches.
I think he'll be in the mix till the very end. Like, I think, like, as we get closer to the finals, you know, he'll lose an important match to set up. To me, there's more value in setting up potential future opponents than him winning it. So high in the mix, above average win total, point total. But, you know, finding a way to set up a challenger with a loss toward the end.
We've got Ace Austin. It's his debut entry. He's the Impact X Division champion. I must admit, I haven't seen a great deal of Ace Austin, but I've, from what I hear from people who do watch him, we should be excited about this. And just more to the point, I'm excited about seeing wrestlers I haven't watched that much before. You know, the likes of Alex Zane, Ace Austin, Wheeler Yuta, El Linderman. So actually just getting some fresh blood in there is tremendously exciting. And I suppose the biggest question for me with Ace Austin is, given that he is the Impact X Division champion, how much protection does that give him in terms of booking? Is this a guy who Impact would have happily sent to this tournament if he was going to have a losing record? So what do you think? I mean, how much does the fact that he is X Division champion protect him? And what sort of record do you think we're looking at the end?
Yeah, that's a good question. You would think if you were Impact, you'd want some type of protection for your champion. And he, again, I'm not saying he's probably going to lose it right before he gets on the fucking plane. if he's not already there. I mean, look, in the whole grand scheme of things, Impact Junior title, it's not, you know, not the biggest prize in the game. But again, you do want to protect your assets. So it's a good question. I mean, look, if you're asking me where he's going to fit, he's got to lose. I mean, if you're looking at that block, we're talking about a lot of guys winning. He's got to lose some. So Impact's got to be okay with him losing. I would say probably in that 500 range, like, the, you know, pretty even. I don't think they're going to – they're not going to send him over there to have him go fucking, you know, 4 points. Not their champion, I would think. Why would you do that? So he's got to get some wins. Think of this. I guess my question is this. Who are the people that will be potential challengers for that title if they were to beat him? So I see him losing a lot to guys who aren't sticking around. Like, he might beat guys that are in Japan and, you know, have no plans on coming to the States. But the people that are in the States, I would not be surprised of him losing a couple, more than a couple, to guys like that.
Guys like Alex Zane or Clark Connors, who could potentially fly over and they could have that on a, you know, big Impact show, having them challenged for that title, and Ace Austin potentially getting his win back. So, yeah, I had the same thought as you, actually. Alex Zane also is his debut entry. He is a New Japan Strong regular. He is a lot taller than a lot of the other wrestlers, but he's got the high-flying style, the very risky flippy doos, all of that. He does have a bit of a reputation for botching stuff, so it will be interesting to see if we do see that in the Best of Super Juniors, because he's going to have to bring his A game. And it was interesting. I was surprised that he was the one that was picked to go into this tournament. If, you know, I was looking at other people like Blake Christian on a similar level, and the fact that it was Zane picked over Blake Christian, I don't know if Blake Christian was necessarily interested in going, but I think a lot of people are going to be watching Alex Zane with a great deal of interest to see, can he actually hang with, you know, the very best junior heavyweight wrestlers in the world. And yeah, I think his matches with Ace Austin and Clark Connors as well, I think, are going to be particularly interesting for me, because, you know, maybe that's a style that he will be more comfortable with and more familiar with. So those might be matches where we see him at his best, but I'm definitely intrigued to see how he's mixing up with the native junior heavyweight roster.
Yeah. The freshness of the matchups. I can't see him getting out of here, you know, with double-digit points, let's put it that way. But yeah, I think the wins are just very similar situation. I think trading wins with guys that he can wrestle in the States is probably going to be the best way to go.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
We got Francesco Akira, is also his debut entry, representing United Empire. So he's a person that was been given quite a fair bit of hype to. You know, he was given the vignettes with Will Ospreay, and he made his appearance at, I think it was Sumo Hall, where he came out. Wasn't the greatest debut segment in the world, but he was the All Japan Junior Champion. He won their tournament last year. He stuck around in Japan during the pandemic. So I think a lot of people have a lot of respect for him because of the fact that he did that rather than going back home. And again, he's been penciled in as one of the juniors for United Empire. So I'm thinking in this block moving forward, getting a win over Taguchi to possibly set up a future junior heavyweight tag title shot down the line. So I think that's going to be what we're looking at with Francesco Akira. And I know there are question marks about his size. So, you know, seeing how he sort of stacks up physically against the other junior heavyweights will be interesting. Like, is this a guy who's so tiny he's going to look ridiculous and he's not going to be a credible challenger in this division?
Nah.
I don't think so. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I mean, Christ, Rey Mysterio was fucking, you know, I mean, nah, I'm not worried about it. But I would say that of any of the fresh blood, I think you can pencil him in on a guy who's going to get a lot of spotlight. Let's put it that way. A lot of spotlight.
And our last entrant in A block is Sho. So this is his fifth entry. He is an ever openweight six-man tag team champion. And yeah, you touched on it earlier. I think he is a dark horse to win this block and make it to the final. Because at some point, I mean, they've put him in this House of Torture thing. They're doing this gimmick. And say what you will about the House of Torture, I think that has elevated him from the spot he was in before as, you know, chaos junior tag guy. I think it's more interesting than that. And I know your mileage may vary. Lots of people hate this iteration of the show. I think he's improving. I've actually enjoyed his last couple of outings. I'm enjoying the work that he's doing with the six-man belts. So I think this might be his time. This might be the point at which they decide to pull the trigger on him and have him win the block and go through to the final. I don't think he's going to win the tournament, but I wouldn't rule out the possibility of him being a finalist.
Yeah, I think he'll be very solidly in the mix. Look, he could turn a lot of people's opinions very quickly during this tournament. You know, I don't know. I just, again, we all know gimmick-wise, I'm not the biggest fan of it. But like, it's not like he doesn't have the fucking talent and the tools with anybody in that block to have a great match. And if he strings together, you know, 3-4 solid, good to great matches, trust me, it shut a lot of people up, me included. So, yeah, I think he's going to be very much in the mix. And again, he's probably my dark horse to win it.
Let's move on to B block then. We got Watto, Robbie Eagles, Titan, Bushi, El Desperado, Doki, El Linderman, Wheeler Yuta, TJP, and El Fantasma. So it's a block with all the L's. So let's begin with El Desperado. This is his sixth entry in the tournament, and he was, until very recently, the junior heavyweight champion. But I think the fact that he is no longer the junior heavyweight champion might actually increase the likelihood of him going out and winning this tournament. And looking at his placement on these cards, he is main eventing against Titan, main event against TJP, main event against Wheeler Yuta, main event against El Linderman.
Wow.
Third from the top against Bushi. I mean, it's Bushi. What do you expect? Main event against Doki. Main event against Robbie Eagles.
Wow.
And then he's got El Phantasma on the final night, which you imagine will probably be pretty high on the card. So I think it's fair to say that, I mean, he feels like a star in the junior division for me. And just looking at the placement of his matches, unless I've fucked that up and reading it all wrong, he's been placed really highly. They're treating him like a star. They obviously see him as a draw in the junior division. He seems like very popular. You see lots of Despy merchandise. The fans seem to love him. So push comes to shove, I think he will be my favorite to win the whole tournament.
I like that. That B block's pretty stacked too.
I think, sorry, just to add, with a lot of these people who were prominent during the COVID era, as we'll call it, there are question marks like, was this guy only pushed because there was no one else?
I don't think
so. Was this guy only a featured act because they couldn't get any foreign talent in? So I think this would be a really good chance with all these international stars in the tournament to say, no, Despy is the guy because, look, he's managed to win the tournament even when it's stacked with all this international talent too.
I think it's only going to make things more interesting for him. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he was working with dog shit, but, if people are going to bring that up as a counter argument to his greatness, look, there are people that got the ball during COVID times that fumbled. He did not. So, I'm excited to see what he does in this. Yeah, I would say he's probably my favorite to come out of that block. I do have a dark horse. I'll wait till it comes up, and I'll see how you feel about it. But yeah, B block, I think Despy's probably my guy.
Master Watto, this is third entry. He is one half of the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. He had that very humbling match against Okada in the New Japan Cup where he just got destroyed and then Okada pat him on the chest. Thanks for coming, kids. And I think he's improving. I think we're going to see the best iteration of Master Watto here. And I know people think the gimmick is terrible and he looks like a geek, and I can't necessarily disagree. But in terms of his in-ring output, I think this will be a really good chance for him to show his stuff. And I'm looking at the match. I agree with the preview here on the New Japan World website that Doki, May 31st, that's going to be an interesting one because Doki's been talking a lot of shit about him, saying, I hate your hair, your moves, your face, and you. So I think that'll be a really fun match against Doki. And as I mentioned before, with the A block, I'm looking at setting up junior tag team challenges here. So I think his match against TJP will be interesting because I have a feeling that TJP will pin Master Watto and Akira will pin Taguchi, and then we'll get Akira and TJP challenging 6 or 9 for those junior tag belts sometime in the future.
I like that. Sounds pretty nice. I will say this, that the best of Master Watto has been in a tag environment. And unfortunately, I have less than a thimble's full of faith that he's going to be in a lot of singles matches, and he's going to be asked to go over 10 minutes more than a few times. This has disaster written all over it, right? I'll set the over under, and I'll call them major faux pas, major fumbles. I'll set it at 3. Over or under? What are you taking, Joel Kikuchi?
Oh, I suppose given that I'm the optimist and I've said nice things about Watto, I've got to take the under there, haven't I?
All right.
But 3 for the whole tournament. That's 9 matches. I don't like those odds.
No, neither do I. I'm fucking riding that over till the sun goes down. Are you kidding me? Give me why you think this will be any different than what we've seen in the past with him. I don't have any faith whatsoever.
He's a very young guy, Damon. I mean, how old
Joel,
is he? I mean,
my God, he's been wrestling for fucking how long? How long? He's
25.
Come on. Please. Enough already. I mean, what he's not.
Okay, all right. I'll give you this, David. This is shit or get off the potty time.
Yes.
If he fucks up this tournament and is botching stuff left, right, and center, then I will officially wash my hands of him and say he's a bust.
Okay. All right. This is it. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I have no faith, but I'll give you it. And this is it. This is it. Perfect.
Got Robbie Eagles, his fourth entry in the tournament. Former champion.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular guy.
Mm-hmm.
Company very, very high on him.
Mm-hmm.
Filipino derby against TJP May 25th in Corcoran Hall.
Mm-hmm. He's my dark horse. I think he's going to have more wins and losses. He's going to have, you know, a double digit points. He's going to be in the mix. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. I'd be shocked. So in that B block, getting out of that, he's like, could you see him in the finals? I know you're saying that's B, but
yeah.
I definitely could. So,
but the thing is, this B block is so stacked that
it is.
Most of those guys I could see in the final. But definitely Robbie Eagles is, I would not be shocked at all if he went through.
Maybe a little, you know, he had a little cup of coffee with the title. He, he's done everything he could to get to Japan when he could. And I think the company's very high on him. That'd be good to say. I'd be okay with that. I would be A-okay with that. So he's my dark horse.
Okay, next is Titan. It's his third entry in the tournament as well. And representing CMLL, he's had a very impressive 2022. He made it all the way to the Universal Championship Tournament Final, narrowly lost to Mystico fairly recently. And from what I hear, there's quite a lot of buzz about him. He is someone that I think we should be excited about because maybe, you know, in years gone by, he's been very good but hasn't necessarily stood out as great amongst his peers in the best of the super juniors. But I think this might be the one where people sit up and go, whoa, this guy is really good. And especially with Ryu Lee not there, maybe this is a chance for Titan to sort of step out of Ryu Lee's shadow and show people that he is a tremendous luchador and a great wrestler. And someone asked, Mitch said, if the plan was to bring Mascara Dorada for best of the super juniors, who would have lost their spot out of the people in the final lineup? I don't want to necessarily say that Titan was his replacement, but sort of spiritual replacement. Sure, I think he is someone who is going to be a lot of fun to watch in this tournament. I don't think he's going to be a contender when we come to the final day, although he does have Robbie Eagles on the last night, which does add an interesting twist to that if you do think Robbie is going to still be in the mix. But yeah, I think people are going to be sitting up and taking notice of Titan come the end of this tournament.
That's a great scenario, actually, to have him with a spotlight on him, not just be a middle of the pack guy, but be so good that you can't ignore him, to bring him back for a little bit more than just best of the super juniors and, you know, Fantastica Mania when they have it. That's, to me, that's the best case scenario is okay. You might not win with points, but fucking outshine everybody. That'd be a nice little spot, right? That'd be a nice little spot if they could work that out. But again, there's a lot of scheduling conflicts and all that stuff, but that would be a great scenario to me.
And Bushi is in the tournament, Damon.
Who?
The 10th entry for Bushi. All right. And then we also have El Lindemann.
No, go. El Lindemann, go.
No, guys, the stand-up match for Bushi, according to the website, will be the Doki match because he has lost to Doki in the previous two tournaments. So there we go. May 25th, Korakuen. I'm saying a lot of these matches on May 25th are stand-up matches. Let's just look at this May 25th card. I'm excited about this. No, I don't. my schedule here, I've got May 24th and May 26th. So something's gone wrong here. So one of these dates must be wrong. Where? Oh. I'll give up. I failed to do the most basic of research.
That's all right. Listen, it's 5 o'clock in the morning there. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, Bushi. Any comment on Bushi or should we just go straight?
I like his black fingernails. That's I always appreciate
cool masks.
Black fingernails. I like that.
Okay, so L. Lindemann representing Glate. He is the Glate T-Rex champion, G-Rex champion. I forget. I apologize, Glate fans. But I really like this guy. I haven't seen a great deal of him, but I have gone out of my way to watch his matches in the past when he's doing the strong heart stuff. And he is a really fun wrestler to watch. Lots of fantastic grappling ability. So he's talked a lot of shit with El Desperado. And that was when Despy was champion. So I was convinced that we were going to get Lindemann challenging for the title against Despy. But obviously, Despy's not champion anymore. I still think that's going to be a great match to watch and the one that I am penciling in on the calendar. But I'm just excited to see him wrestle everyone, to be honest. I think he's really good.
Me too.
Do I think he's going to be in the mix come the end? I don't know. I could see this being one of those blocks where there's like about six people finally balanced on the same number of points and we're getting into sort of wacky tiebreaker scenarios. And I think Lindemann could be one of them.
Yeah, I mean, that would be optimistic, I think. I mean, looking at that bracket, we're saying more people are winning than losing. And the math just doesn't pan out. So I would say he's probably going to lose more than win.
We also have Wheeler Utah, who I think is probably the most interesting here in terms of a political standpoint, because not only is he an AEW wrestler who is in the middle of getting a huge push in the company, mixing it up with the Blackpool Combat Club. We had that tremendous bloody match with John Moxley, and everyone's talking about him now. He's also the ROH Pure Champion. So I was stunned that he's actually in this tournament full stop, because they don't make those weight division distinctions in AEW. So, and of course, Tony Khan, you know, is a person who does drive a hard bargain. And we've seen in these shows where we've had AEW talent on New Japan shows that more often than not, the AEW talent goes over. So I absolutely do not think this is a guy who's going to be coming out with a losing record. I think he is going to be a serious contender. Would not shock me if he made it out of his block as well. Just through the fact that the block is so star-studded and there's so many big names in there, it's going to be a really tricky one. But I think he will absolutely be in the mix just because Tony Khan would have insisted on that, quite frankly.
Yeah, it is interesting. It might be the most interesting, like you said, from a political standpoint and from a wins, losses, and who he is losing to, out of anybody in that entire block A or B. You're right. I mean, I can't see him not having more wins than losses, and those losses are going to be significant. The only strike that I see against him, though, is that I don't know how familiar fans will be with him. And I know that having AEW on the network helps, and I know, you know, just buzz, and again, good pro wrestling fans are good pro wrestling fans, but like, I don't know if he has that name recognition that New Japan would be like, okay, we have to, other than Tony Khan is got us by the balls, we have to do what we have to do for wins and losses. That, I mean, that's the only thing I think he has against him right now. And I think that's something that can easily be overcome. But yeah, you're right. Who he beats and who he loses to me is one of the most interesting stories of the whole fucking tourney.
And we also have our good friend Doki, who is his fourth entry in the tournament. And yeah, I think Doki's just a great story. He was a late replacement for El Desperado back in 2019. And everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy? Look at this shindy loser. And he's actually turned out to be really good. Still a relatively young guy. I should look up how old he is. I believe he's still in his 20s.
Really?
So yeah. Yeah, he's born in 1991. So 30. He's 30.
Okay.
He's 30. But yeah, I think he's going to be the guy who you see the crazy high fly matches. He's going to be the guy taking the wild bumps. He is 2017 Hiromu Takahashi incarnate. So I can't really pick out a particular match that I'm interested in, because I really like Doki. I'm looking forward to seeing all his matches. Maybe that main event with Despy, I suppose, is the one that is going to be the most intriguing, because they're just going to do some crazy shit, I imagine. I'm just looking on my calendar. Yeah, for some reason, I just did not have that the Korakuen Shoin 25th listed. So May 28th in Chiba, we've got El Desperado versus Doki. So that is going to be a really fun one. I don't think he's going to be doing particularly well in terms of points, like probably, you know, 4-6 points what we're looking at here. But very, very entertaining guy to watch, who's going to do some ridiculously dangerous stunts.
This is a fucking fun tourney, dude. Like the first question that was posed was, is this the best lineup? Like, I mean, in this, there's not a dud in, well, all right. Who's the worst? And even the worst isn't that bad. Like, who's the worst? Wacho?
Well, Bushi to me is the least interesting, but he's not bad.
Right.
And if Bushi is the baseline, then it's a pretty fucking good tournament, because you need guys like Bushi there.
Right. This is a really, really... I'm more excited for this than I have in a while. This is a good one. I'm really thrilled with this one. There is all stake and no filler. Is that what I wanted to say? You know what I meant.
Yes, steak sizzle, all steak and sizzle. We're getting steak and sizzle here. All right, TJP, this is his second entry. This first entry in 11 years. I know people think he's a shithead. I mean, I don't really care for some of the nonsense he talks about, but I think he's a tremendous wrestler. I'm really excited to see him in this tournament. And again, as I said, I think I'm going to be looking at that match he has against Wato to set up a junior tag challenge in the future. But again, just getting to see him mix it up with some of the biggest names in the junior division, I think that's really exciting. I think people unfairly dismiss TJP in terms of his wrestling ability. I think he's really, really good.
1,000%, dude. 1,000%. We've said it before. Like, there is a guy that every time he's on strong, like he delivers every time. And now he's going to be in the ring with a really sexy lineup. Yeah, I think this is going to be really good. He might come out of this tournament as a guy that people look a little bit more seriously at. And again, right, nonsense that comes out of his mouth. The majority of us kind of roll our eyes, but the guy can go. The guy can fucking go. And again, he's going to be in the ring with some really talented guys. It's going to be fun.
And finally, we've got El Fantasmo. It's his third entry in the tournament. And this will be an interesting one for him, because the sudden death loaded boot gimmick has been removed. And it looked at one point that he was on the verge of maybe even a face turn. But with this sort of Bullet Club Civil War thing, he sided with the bad guys, if you will. But again, I'm still looking at him with potential for a heavyweight turn and a babyface turn. So I will be intrigued to see what he's up to in this tournament. Because it's, you know, especially if he's not doing the usual heel shenanigans and the loaded boot and all that, which he's gradually phased out over the last couple of years, he's going to be very interesting to watch. I'm not saying he's going to be wrestling pure babyface, but I'm excited for El Fantasmo. I've got to say, he was someone I really enjoyed watching last year, and I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I'm just really looking forward to seeing him mix it up with all these titans in the B block. Do I think he's going to be in the mix come the end?
Yep.
Could be. I mean, this is a guy who's won multiple Super J Cups. If you're looking at a dark horse in this block, he will be in the mix for sure.
I agree. And I think, and I will go so far as to say, overlooked by just about everyone. He's a guy that will collect points, and then toward the end of this of Best of the Super Juniors, you're going to look at the fucking standings and be like, "Well, yeah, I guess I didn't miss him." He might not. Here's the thing: he might not have like a string of fantastic matches, but he could. He very well could. But from a points perspective, yeah, I think he's definitely in the mix. I would be shocked if he's not double digit above average. Be shocked.
Bash says, how do you feel people like Ace Austin, Alex Zane, Wheeler Yuta are going to fit in with the New Japan Junior style of match? Since two out of the three do TV-style wrestling in the States, I'm especially intrigued on how Ace Austin performances will be in the tournament. Do you think that there's going to be, that will be any sort of hurdle about them adjusting to the house style?
Nah. I think all of them are pros. I think all of them are solid. I think all of them are excited. Do you have any concerns? I have zero. None.
No, I don't even think that there is a house style per se for New Japan. You know, this is not like these guys are being asked to wrestle like a Vince McMahon style WWE right. TV match. You know, it's I think they're just going to let people go out there and do their stuff. I think they're going to be fine. Here's an interesting one. Sean says, thoughts on Doki potentially leaving Suzuki-gun or New Japan. The New Japan Collection game tends to advertise things before they happen. It was promoting GOD with the main unit almost 2 months prior to the incident at the Impact pay-per-view, and it's saying Doki is a free agent.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I don't think so. but interesting nonetheless.
No, I think there's having that junior tag team with Kanemaru. That is a recent thing, to be fair, because it's usually been Despy tagging with him. But I think the Kanemaru Doki tag team is fun and they should keep that around. Okay, last one. Flynn says, I'm so hyped for Best of the Super Junior. It's the most excited I've been about any wrestling since before COVID. Do you think New Japan will take the opportunity to make a new star? Despy's the obvious choice to win, but I would love to see them have the balls to strap the rocket to Clark Connors or something. So could you pick me one guy, Damon, that you think they will use to elevate and is going to come out of this tournament, not necessarily as the champion, but someone you're going to go, wow, this guy made a name for himself?
Titan. That's the guy. I think people will be eyes a little wider on. I can't say Clark Connors right now. Like it just doesn't seem like that's going to happen right now. Yeah, I just don't see it. But Titan, I would say, is the guy to keep your eyes on.
All right, so that is Best of the Super Juniors, which kicks off on Sunday. Tremendously excited about that. So look forward to it. Okay, let me go through strong. This was Lone Star Shootout in Dallas. So first match was Hikuleo and Chris Bay defeating Barrett Brown and Bateman in 12 minutes, 16 seconds. Hikuleo pinned Barrett Brown with a chokeslam. The opening exchange between Chris Bay and Barrett Brown was really fun. I think these are two guys who might be disappointed not to be in Best of the Super Junior, so they've got a point to prove here. And I don't think it's a question of either of them not being good enough. I think they're both good enough for the tournament, but there just happen to be 20 guys who are better than them and something for them to aim for next year. And it was an interesting spot for Hikuleo right now. He's a guy, you know, we've been waiting for the breakout moment, but now he's torn between his brothers and Bullet Club. He didn't want to celebrate after the match with Chris Bay. So it's the most interesting spot he's ever been in. And we're all waiting for a payoff there. And honestly, I don't know which way it will go, but either way, it should be a launching pad for Hikuleo to move up a tier. And the last point, it was interesting to see two heel factions here paired off, but Barrett Brown was the hometown boy, if I'm not mistaken, which made him the de facto baby face of the match. It was built around him getting the hot tag. And I think he's a guy that gets overlooked, and more so now that we have got this steady influx of new talent. But I think he's a really solid wrestler. He's 28, so he's not a kid, but there's definitely room for growth there. So I'm a fan of one Barrett Brown. Spannerhead says, Chris Bay seems like an interesting omission from Best of the Super Juniors. Do you think Impact wanted to keep Bay and as a compromise gave New Japan Ace Austin? So yeah, that was a surprise for me, Damon. I really thought we were getting Chris Bay. So Ace Austin sort of came out of left field. What do you think is what happened there?
I don't know. Be very truthful. I don't know. Because yeah, I honestly thought that was a... There were a couple, you know, we talk about Dorada, you know, him and
yeah, that seemed to be visa related from what I understand.
Okay. I mean, I truly don't know. I don't know if it was scheduling. I don't know if it was logistics. I don't know if it was he just didn't want to get on an airplane. I no idea. But yeah, I mean, if you put the Super J Cast branded gun to my head, I would have thought that would have been a slam dunk. But here we go.
We had Jonah defeating Blake Christian in 6 minutes, 56 seconds with a tsunami. Blake worked really hard here to make Jonah look like a monster. He had a nice little hope spot flurry of his own until Jonah snuffed it out. We didn't learn a great deal of new information about either of these guys. Jonah, I'm still waiting to see how he looks in a singles match that isn't a squash. If you were to ask me right now, you know, is he good enough for the G1? I don't have enough evidence to say yes, because as we've seen from the Best of the Super Juniors field, the bar has been raised significantly. So the standards, I imagine, are going to be very high this year. And our main event was Team Filthy, JR Kratos, Royce Isaacs, Tom Lawler, defeating Alex Coughlin, Fred Ross, and the DKC. Royce Isaacs getting the pin on the DKC with a super power slam. It does feel like we do see some variation on this match every week, and that's not necessarily a criticism, but I will be interested to see how many of these guys get a chance to go to Japan and how soon it happens, because they could do with some fresh opponents. Because we've got coming up at Mutiny, Fred Rosser against in a handicap match against the West Coast Wrecking Crew, and if Rosser wins, we'll have a Filthy Tom versus Fred Rosser rematch, where I believe the stipulation will be that if Rosser doesn't win, he'll leave strong. And that could genuinely go either way. Like, I would say the loser would be a lock for a trip to Japan. And it's one of those nice scenarios where either option works. Like, you could have Rosser as the new strong champion and then Filthy Tom in Japan. That works. But likewise, Tom continuing to dominate strong and then Fred Rosser moving over to Japan is also one that I find really intriguing. And I say this all the time, Fred Rosser was really good here. We've spoken at length about how much he's improved, but his aggression and his ferocity is always fun to watch. And as always with these multi-man tags, everyone got their moments. Even the DKC got his fiery young lion spots. I talked about him last week. He's continuing to improve at the rate you would demand and expect from the LA Dojo. And look, not for nothing, Royce Isaacs got the pin here. And, you know, we know he's one half of a really good tag team, but he has got a lot of upside as a future singles guy. So keep an eye out for Royce Isaacs. If he turns out a year from now to be a breakout star, then you heard it here first. I'd like to think I've got a good eye for talent when it comes to these strong wrestlers, and he is absolutely one to watch. So that is New Japan Strong. We have better preview Capital Collision as we are quickly running out of time here.
Yes,
we got Ren Narita against Carl Fredericks. We got Fred Rosser, Rocky Romero, David Finlay, Tangaloa, and Yuya Uemura against Tom Lawler, Royce Isaacs, Jarrell Nelson, JR Kratos, Danny Limelight. Great O'Khan against Chase Owens. Hanare, Carl Fletcher, Mark Davis, and Jeff Cobb against Jonah, Shane Haste, Mikey Nichols, and Bad Dude Tito. That one I am really interested in, having two normally heel factions, United Empire against TMDK. Seeing a lot of fresh names there. Mad Mikey's back. And I'm hoping we get the TMDK tag team of Shane Haste and Mikey Nichols getting over to Japan soon. That one I'm really interested in. And we have, these are not in order, these matches. We've got IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship four-way match with Tanahashi, Ospreay, Moxley, and Juice. Brody King against Minoru Suzuki. Tomohiro Ishii against Eddie Kingston. And Jay White and Hikuleo against Beretta and Kazuchika Okada, which may be the point at which something happens with Hikuleo. So, thoughts on that card, Damon? What is jumping out at you as ones you are excited about?
Dude, everything. I said dude a lot. Everything. I'm super excited for this weekend. I will be there. I will be in attendance. That's a stacked fucking show. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's only available on Fight TV. Once again, Fight TV.
And to be fair, New Japan held their hands up and said that was their fault and basically absolved Fight of any wrongdoing. So they insist that they've got their act together for this one.
Okay. Take your chances, people. Take your chances. I can't wait for you to get 10 more credits. But I will be there. And I'm excited, and I hope to see everyone there. It'll be the first time in a long time for me on a traveling tip. No meetup official, but yeah, you'll see me around. I'll be there, so buy me a beer. But that's a, like, Joel, that's a sexy lineup for a, you know, random Washington D.C. house show, and then the next day they're coming up to Philly. That's a good size. Like, they're like, what's the worst match on that show? I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, there are no bad matches on this.
It's good. None.
I'm scrolling through it. They're all good. Like, top to bottom, these are 8 high quality matches.
Near sellout, right? Close to a sellout. They keep saying tickets are scarce. We'll see. Hopefully it's a good crowd and everyone's excited. And
let me put you on the spot. Multiverse A says, who walks out of Capital Collision as US champion? What do you think this outcome will mean for the Forbidden Door?
Great question. I got no problem with... what do you think, Mox?
I don't know. I think... I really don't know.
I mean,
and I like the fact that I don't know.
Yeah, me too. I mean, there are four guys in that ring that you would have absolutely zero problem handing that belt over to, knowing full well Chicago is right around the corner, right?
I'll tell you what, if you want us to take this new turn seriously, let's have Juice Robinson win it.
Yeah, that'd be something, wouldn't it? I would have no problem with that. None. That would be, and him getting a big pinfall. Like, he's got to pin somebody to get that belt. Tanahashi? Wow. Huh? How about that? Fuck. I mean, we're putting a rocket on him. Cool. I saw online like how he was boasting about how he fooled everyone. Okay, all right. You basically just, you know, lied. It's okay, but you know,
a lie is a lie.
Yeah,
lies make baby Jesus cry.
Yeah, it really wasn't that revolutionary. This big swerve. You told a fib. Okay.
Okay, here's an interesting point here. So originally Matt's graphics suggested that it was going to be Chris Dickinson on the Fred Rosser tag team for the 10-man, but he's been seemingly replaced with Tangaloa. So it looks like he's been sort of quietly pulled from this event. Classic Catch says, Tanahashi versus Dickinson still seems to be happening in Philly. Given the recent allegations, how can New Japan still reward Dickinson with a Tana match? And do you think Tanahashi has any idea what's going on? I don't think that match happens. Guns to my head, I think they pull that one. They'll set up something here and they can give Tanahashi a different opponent.
I would think so. I have not heard either one way or the other, but I think this is a smart thing to do. So we'll see. But I would say it's less than 50% that happens.
Right. Really quickly, I want to talk about Takataichi Mania. Oh. So I'm going to go through the matches that I watched and enjoyed. So there was Minoru Suzuki versus Ren Ayabe. I think it was interesting. We had a female referee here, which is good to see. I don't know what the future holds for Ren Ayabe, but he looks the part. He's very, very tall, strong. He's good looking. If you want an indicator of his upside, you should see how Suzuki treated him, because they actually had a proper wrestling match. Suzuki took some actual honest-to-God bumps. Andrew from our Discord recommended this one to me, and I agree with his assessment that Suzuki gave this kid more than most of his US opponents. Because there was a moment where Ayabe had Suzuki in like an elevated full Nelson for a really long time. Didn't look very comfortable. So wherever he lands, I would remember that name, Ren Ayabe. Also, the Kanemaru and Taka against Gedo and Togo match. Very fun. Just four cheeky, lovable rascals out there up to no good, making mischief. And when Taka Michinoku is your babyface in peril, and Kanemaru is the hot tag complaining to the referee about rule breaking, then you know it's a very special match. And look, it wasn't complete shenanigans. I thought they all worked relatively hard. The work was good. There was some nice knee work by Kanemaru on Gedo. And there was a fun spot with the whiskey. I think a lot of love and care went into this, more so than a throwaway Road 2 undercard match. And it might sound like a weird thing to say to people who don't get it, but Takataichi Mania is starting to feel like I don't want to say a big deal, but you know you're going to have that sweet spot between effort and shenanigans and insane violence on these shows. So Uncle Nobu gets a pin here for some big momentum going into Best of the Super Juniors. We had a Yoshitatsu against Taichi, which was a surprisingly good match. Which says a lot about Taichi's ability to lift an inferior opponent, because I don't really rate Yoshitatsu that highly. Kicked each other a lot, reminded me a little bit of the Ibushi match at Budokan. And I do like how Taichi's incorporated the Uatanage, that sumo throw, into his arsenal. He always just adds these little spots into his moveset. And there's a really great backstage promo by Taichi afterwards, talking about their history together and the class of 2002 and wanting to reunite again. And how he really looked up to Yoshitatsu when he moved to WWE in, was it 2010? But since then, he hasn't achieved anything. And he didn't even win the Triple Crown Championship in All Japan. And how Taichi's disappointed in him. And there's something really cutting about Taichi's promos. He never shit talks people for the sake of it. There's always like a real sense of pathos behind his words that cuts to the quick, and he's an incredibly underrated promo, our Holy Emperor. Main event. Okay, I'll take a deep breath here. Andrew said, please watch the Takataichi Mania main event. Why would they let Desperado and Doki do that a week before Best of the Super Juniors? So this was Honma and Jun Kasai against Doki and Despy. Honma set the tone here. He came out with a crown of barbed wire. And I mean, Despy's outfits for these shows, they're always a sartorial delight. He's always so extra. He looked like a deathmatch luchador and a waiter in a tapas restaurant, had a fuck baby. As expected, this turned into a deathmatch mayhem match. We had yakitori skewers, the wall stapler, tables, razor blades, bonus points for Jun Kasai actually casually tossing the razor blades towards the crowd. Doki did a hell of a blade job. He was pissing blood all over the mat. The mat like basically turned purple by the end of the match. He took some crazy bumps, as he does. Like, just an insane match. to have a week before Best of Super Juniors starts. And I'm glad to see Despy has not only learned nothing from his 2019 misadventures, but he's actively dragging his buddy Doki into this nonsense too. And what I'm thinking, David, I would love to know if they had to ask, did they have to ask for permission first? So like, imagine this scenario, like Despy's going into Chairman Sugabayashi's office and not going to do it. Yep, come in. Hi, Chairman Sugabayashi. Yeah, it's me. Yeah, El Desperado, the guy who's main eventing six of our upcoming Best of the Super Junior shows. Is it okay if I work a Takatachi Mania match a week before we start the tour? Is that not the event where Jun Kasai broke your jaw and caused you to miss the entire tournament 3 years ago? Yeah, that's the one. Oh, well, you're going to have to give me some more details here, Despy. Who are you wrestling this time? Someone a bit safer? Someone who can take care of you? Oh, absolutely not. It's Jun Kasai again. And Honma.
Right.
Oh, right. The guy who smashed your face and the guy who can barely control his own knees. Okay, I see. Is that a handicap match then? Oh, no, Chairman Sugabayashi. I'm teaming with Doki. Oh, right. That's another guy we need for the tournament. So what is that? Is that a straight tag match? We're going to keep him nice and fresh for Best of the Super Juniors?
No,
actually it isn't. It's an extremely dangerous and bloody death match where he's going to take some stupid bumps and probably lose copious amounts of blood. Well, Despy, I don't know about this. You're a big part of the tour. You're the former champion. You're a top-level junior. Like I said, you've got six main events on this tour. You're a big merch mover. You're a big draw. You're going to be taking it easy, right? No big bumps for you, Despy. Maybe just a vertical suplex on some pants.
I'm sorry, what?
Pardon? just a vertical suplex on some razor sharp thin cans. Sorry, I caught the vertical suplex bit. What was the second bit? A vertical suplex on some razor sharp jagged aluminium cans. Is that all right, boss? Yeah, should be fine. Enjoy yourself, lad. See you next Sunday in Aichi, I presume. What the... David, I can't... What are they doing? I mean, I'm always of the opinion that these are trained professionals. They can do what they like. I'm not the safety police kind of guy, but a week before Best of the Super Junior seems a little bit reckless, doesn't it?
It's unbelievable. It's preposterous if you wrote it down on a notebook and said, okay, this is what's happening. And again, you could even make an argument and be like, okay, it's Doki. We're going, you know, El Desperado, right? With his history of matches, broken jaw he's had out. He was eating fucking soup for weeks. Yeah, this was crazy. This was nuts. And even Holma, who you know, has a history with death matches. He's not, you know, he's not like this is something new for the guy. I thought he did very well, too, all things considered. These shows...
I know, like, his body might not be able to do what he used to, but he's still got a great mind for wrestling. He always manages to surprise me with how, like, compelling he is. He was really good in this match.
Yeah, like, it's just, his body just won't let him do what his mind wants it to do. These shows are becoming, like, a highlight of the year, right? Like, I don't know, like, how this can be mapped into... You know what? I take that back. I don't want it mapped into the New Japan world, you know, in the sense of, you know, make it a New Japan. I don't want it. I like it, the fact that it is an independent thing. It is a just fucking one-off crazy offshoot. I mean, didn't we have the birthday celebration the other year? It's just a fun fucking show. I watched the matches that you did. But... I'm thrilled that it was such a good match, in the sense of they had no right, and the timing of it being so good, and what they did is preposterous, it's ludicrous. But yeah, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, I want to throw some love for Jun Kasai. So I mean, he might get hand wave as just a deathmatch guy. He's a really good wrestler too. I thought his exchanges with Despy were red hot, and you know, of course, they've got history together. And this is, Damon, this is the deep lore of Takatachi Mania, the second best booked Japanese wrestling promotion. Like him calling his reverse Tiger Destroyer from the top rope through the pile of chairs, that was a lovely touch. And of course, Jun Kasai gets the pinfall. I mean, look, when you put aside the absolute rank madness that led to this match taking place, it's a fucking good match. And I would recommend everyone goes out of their way to check it out. I had a blast watching this show. The post-match in-ring speeches, they're always so lovely and heartfelt between these guys covered in each other's blood. Yeah, maybe we should become a freedoms podcast moving forward. But anyway, Junkasai challenged Despy to a one-on-one match. Thankfully, that is after Best of the Super Juniors, so he can break whatever body parts he will that time, and we won't miss him from one of our favourite tournaments. So there you go. That's Takataichi Mania. I'm going to get out of here. So if you don't mind, I will wrap it up. redcircle.com/shows/super-j-cast. If you want to throw some money into the buy Joel a new microphone and headphones fund, Discord link, send me a direct message on Twitter and I'll share a link with you. At Cobra Kawaii and ProWrestlingTees.com/SuperJCast. Big thank you to editor Dan. You can find him on Twitter at LousyHero219. And not only that, Damon, I want to throw some love out for the new Escape the Box single, Self Control. I really like it. That's definitely my kind of music. Good. So do check it out. Subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network for other great shows. Give us a 5-snake review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at SuperJCast. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and goodbye.